chapter 30, verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand or to the left. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We ask for wisdom and power to preach. Lord, be with our tongue, our mind. Help us to be clear. Lord, I pray it would not be confusing, but the Word of God might go forth in clarity and in simplicity, that the hearer might hear and know and understand. And then, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would add His blessing, His unction to it, that it might lodge in our heart and find a place to rest, take root, move us, motivate us, change our lives for Thy glory and for our good. We'll thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, The Way. Some years ago, you know, there was a group called The Way. And then, wasn't long after that, they published a new translation of the Bible called The Way. And it was so confusing, nobody could have found their way reading it. but that's not the way I want to talk about. Matter of fact, we use that word a lot more than you think, you know. This is one of those old-fashioned Bible words that finds itself in common usage today, so that you don't have to explain it too much like you do the these and the thous, because they're so complicated. And they are, you know, our modern-day educational institution is not up to explaining that kind of stuff. But, for example, we use it like this. Which way did he go? Amen. Or, what's the best way to get to so-and-so? Now, I use that one a lot because I'm lost all the time. I've made a career out of stopping at convenience stores saying, what's the best way to get to or we'll say, is there any other way to get there? And you use that phrase a lot, if you think about it, a number of different ways. And so what I want to do this morning, kind of unusual, I suppose, but I'll bring you a little message. And what I want to do is I want to take phrases out of verses that use a word. Y'all got that? We're just going to take a phrase that's found, got nothing to do with the context of the verse. I'm just using it to teach a lesson or a story. And so I'm just going to take verses that I picked that have a phrase in them that use this word, and I want to use that to teach us a truth, a principle that we need to help us in our lives, okay? Now, I have 15 points, so I've got to kind of move along, especially y'all spent so much time talking about education this morning. So, let me get started. Now, I want to talk to you about the way. And I want to talk about it as the way, as a path or a course or a means or a method to accomplishing something. Bible uses it a number of different ways, and so we will too, but I want it to lead us down a path that brings us to a predetermined point. We're not just going to ramble around with them. We're going to take them in the order I've arranged them in to lead us to a place we all need to get to. Okay? So having that in mind, let's get started. Of course, the verse we read said, you shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. So God has got a path that He wants us to walk in. And He's willing to give us instruction in order to enable us and to help us walk that way. Thou shalt hear a word behind thee. And it says, when thou art in the way, and it says, listen to that voice when thou turnest to the right hand or to the left. If you go this way, You want to make sure that's where God told you to go. If you go that way, you want to make sure that's where God told you to go. God will whisper in your ear. God will give you instruction. God will give you leadership. God will give you guidance on how to stay in the way. This is the way. Walk you in it. You don't turn right and you don't turn left if you don't hear that voice of God saying, this is the way. The way goes to the right. The way it goes to the left. This is the way, walk in it. And so God, when He has a lifestyle He wants us to live, a course that He wants us to walk, a way that He wants us to travel, God will make sure that you can hear the voice of God and know the way. I find that personally very comforting. That when I come to a point or a place in life where I have insufficient knowledge or wisdom, when I lack direction or understanding, I can pray and seek God and read this book and listen for God, and God will give me a word. I can hear a word, and it'll say, this is the way. And I say, God's leading me this way, and God is leading me that way. I don't have to wander around aimless without direction or without purpose. If I will take the time and inquire, I can find out the way God wants me to go. Amen. You do not have to be a purposeless Christian. You don't have to wander around hoping that maybe you'll find the way that God wants you to go. Number two, in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible said, walk in His ways. So if you're saved by God's grace, God wants you to walk God's way. Now that's going to be contrary to the devil's way. That's going to be contrary to the way of the flesh. That's going to be contrary to the way of the world. If you're God's child, walk where God tells you to walk. Walk in His ways. Now, that's not just a course of or direction. It's the manner of life. See, walk in His ways. That is the ways that God would have you. In truth and in righteousness. In holiness. In fear of the Lord. Walk in His way. Get in the way, and then while in the way, walk in His ways. Don't get in the way and then live like a rebel. Don't get in the way and then live like hell. Don't get in the way and then bring disrepute on the way. So a lot of Christians, you know, say, well, I'm saved, and I'm in the way. I'm in the bright and shining way. It's an old hymn they used to sing years ago. I'm in the way, I'm in the bright and shining way. And then your life lives so poor that people question and wonder whether you're really in the way or not. So when you're in the way, walk in His way. Walk like a Christian ought to walk. Talk like a Christian ought to talk. Amen. Get in the way and then walk in His way. We've got this idea these days that you can get in the way and then you can walk any way you want to. That's not so. That's not sound Bible. That's not good Christianity. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible said, because you have not passed this way before. Why walk in His way? Because you've never been here before. You don't know where you're going. And you don't know what lies ahead. Amen? Now, God's a good God. He's a good scout. He never leads you someplace He's never been. You haven't been there. You only get to pass this way one time. He's taken Israel out of Egypt land and taken them into the wilderness and headed to the promised land. And He said, walk in the way. That is the way that God leads, the way that God directs. Why? Because you've never been here before. And if you don't have some help getting from here to here, there ain't no telling where you're going to end up. So walk ye in the way. And walk in His ways, and then make sure that and understand that the reason that's necessary is because you've never been there before. Lean not in thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. Walk in His way, see? Let God lead your life. We've never done it before, but we think we're so smart and so brilliant that we can lead our own lives and make our own decisions. And here we've got a God that's been here since the creation of man that knows every way possible and knows the right way for you and the safe way for you and the prosperous way for you. And we don't want it to make any sense, does it? 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17 said, turn not again to go back that way. Now, the idea here is that when you start on the way and you get in the way and you set out, you don't turn back and go the other way. You're supposed to be like a fella that's going to build a house or a king that's going out to war. You're supposed to sit down and count the cost before you start. Amen? And once you commit yourself and get in the way, you're supposed to, it's supposed to be a lifetime commitment. It's like getting married. It's till death do us part. Amen? And buddy, you're not supposed to turn back and go the other way. Say, well, what's the big deal about going back? The other way wasn't so bad. Well, mine was. I don't know about yours. I don't want to go back on nothing I had. Amen? It was a miserable way to live. I had no peace and I had no joy. But I'll tell you what going back does. One, it destroys your testimony. You're not going to be a help to anybody. Amen? And it brings confusion because now people that were going this way and see you coming back the other way are confused whether they should go on or not. Get in the way and then stay that way and don't turn and go back. Number four, in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 17, the Bible said, and he preserved them in the way. You're looking for God's help and God's direction and God's purpose, and most of all, we're looking for God's blessing. Let me tell you where God's blessing comes. It comes when you're in the way, walking in God's ways. You can't expect God to protect you and bless you when you're out of the way. Amen. Amen? It's when you're in the way that God preserves and keeps. To have the most security in your life, the most purpose in your life, the most stability in your life, and to have the most confidence that God will look out for you and take care of you and see that you get through, that preservation comes when you're in the way. When you get out of the way, you're subject to all kinds of things. That's the reason when people get out of the will of God and go back to the world and start to live like the world lives, you see all kinds of trouble and problems start to pop up in their life. It's because they're not in the way anymore. And God is not preserving them. God's preservation is right there. Now, we're not talking about your eternal security. We're not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about the peace of God and the blessing of God on your life as you live and walk through this world. As you are in the way, the blessing of God, the preservation of God on the peace and the harmony and the tranquility in your life comes as you stay on the straight and narrow. Number five. Genesis 45. 24 said, see that you fall not out by the way. Well, that's a good admonition. All you folks that are saved by God's amazing grace, and washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you're in the way, the bright and shining way, you're headed for the celestial city. You're saved and sealed and sanctified and on your way home to glory, right? He said, see that you fall not out by the way. My goodness, I've been at this for 38 years, and I've seen scores and scores of people fall out by the way. So what happened? Well, they stumbled over something. They tripped up over something. They got their eye on something they ought not have been looking at. They wasn't paying any attention to where they was going, and they got out of the way. Now, when you get out of the way, there are all kind of obstacles out there. There are all kind of things to trip you up. There are all kind of things to help you ruin your life. You need to get in the way and get fixed on where you're going and watch what you're doing lest you stumble and fall out of the way. Because when you get outside of God's way of living and God's promises and God's commandments, you are subject to have anything happen to you that happens to any unsaved sinner on the face of this earth. Buddy, I tell you, there's a lot of stuff can happen to you out there. So it said, see that ye fall not. See that ye fall not. Oh, I get it. That puts the emphasis upon us. See, God didn't push you out of the way. God didn't lead you out of the way. God led you in the way. God wants to keep you in the way. God preserves you in the way. God makes the way plain. So if you get out, guess whose problem it is? Ye fell out along the way. That is, You decided, you made a choice that you wanted to do this or go there or have that, and you departed from the path, the way. Genesis 32, verse 8 said, and they turned aside out of the way. Oh, there's a place there where Israel had the leadership of God. They knew where they were supposed to be going, but they consciously made a choice. And they turned aside. Now you can read the rest of that story, and it did not end well. And if you turn aside out of the way, there will be sorrow and sadness and heartache and heartbreak and regret in your life that you did not have to experience, that you did not have to go through. People say, well, you know, in every life there's got to be a certain amount of heartache and heartbreak. Yes, there does. And some of it you have no control over. I understand that. But I also understand that we bring a lot of the hardship and heartache in this life on ourselves because we did not do what God wanted us to do. We did not go where God wanted us to go. We did not live like God directed us to live. And we purchased that heartache and that misery for ourselves. It ought to be our prayer that whatever comes our way, Lord, let it not be because we got out of the way, because we would not listen, we would not be admonished, we would not be instructed. Don't let that be the reason. Judges chapter 18, verse 26 said, the children went their way. That's the children of God. They knew where they were supposed to be. They knew how God wanted to live. They had the commandments. They had the oracles. They had the priesthood. They had it all. They knew the way in which God wanted them to live. But he said the children departed. They looked over here, and there's always a choice in this life. There's always a choice. There's always you choose to serve God or you choose not to serve God. You choose to do right or you choose to do something else. But the choice is always yours. And if you end up out of the way after you're saved and in the way and headed home to glory, if you end up in trouble, it will be your choice that got you there. It won't be that God would not direct or could not direct. It won't be because God kept His way hidden from you. It will be because you decided, you chose to go another way. And the children departed from the way. They did it on their own. They did it with malice and forethought. They knew what they were doing when they did it. All the Christian derelicts and shipwrecks you find along the way are because people's choices. Not God never wrecked one ship on its way home to glory. God never wrecked one ship. God never sent one sinner astray. God never messed anybody up that wanted to do right. God never gave them bad advice or bad direction or withheld information or light or direction from them. That's not God's plan. God's plan is to give you light and direction and preserve you as long as you're in the way until you pass through the gates of the pearly white city. And anything else that happens to you is because you disobeyed and you took yourself out of the way. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, children, take heed to thy way. Boy, I'm telling you, you ought to stop sometime and think and contemplate and maybe be a little introspective and think about how you're going to live and the choices that you're going to make. Now, it's important for everybody. All you old folks, you need to be careful the decisions you make. Sometimes we get old, we get careless. We get old, we get soft, and we get easy, and we let down. And, you know, it's not the danger to us that it was when we were younger, and so we kind of ease up. Well, it's still a danger to the ones behind. It is still a danger to the young ones. Amen. And us old folks dare not let down. We need to pay attention. We need to take heed to the way. And then, young people, the Bible said, let no man despise thy youth. You ought to be careful. You ought to be thoughtful about how you're going to live your life. What way are you going to walk in? The Bible said there was a place where two ways met. You're going to have to choose one of these days. Matter of fact, I find that you pretty much have to choose every day if you just want to know the honest truth. Pretty much every day you make a choice. How am I going to live today? What am I going to do in this situation? What am I going to do in that situation? I bet you in an average day you might have to make 50 or 100 choices. There will be an intersection there. And you can go this way or you can go that way. And you have to choose. And the result, the end of the day, when it's all said and done, your day will reflect the choices you made. And you can sit down and blame mom and dad or society or whatever you want to. And the truth is, your life is a culmination of the choices you made. Take heed to the way. You ought to sit down at an early age and decide to serve God. And commit yourself to Him. And then work as hard as you can to stay right in the center of the way. And it'll give you the best life. You say, well, don't people still have troubles and problems? Yes, they do. But not the same kind, not near as bad, buddy. And second, you don't have to face them alone. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 30, or 23 said that God talks about God will teach you the good and the right way. If you will take heed to your way, if you will decide, I'm going to follow God. God said that He would teach you the good and the right way. You can have God's leadership in your life. You can have God's direction in your life. You do not have to stumble through this world. I'm not promising that you won't have problems and troubles. Matter of fact, I can promise that you will. But you can have God's leadership and God's direction. And when trouble comes and when the storms come, you will know how to handle them and how to get through it and what path to take. And God will preserve you through the storm and see you safe through on the other side. But that's only if you stay in the way and you take heed to your ways and you let God teach you the good and the right way. If you got bad advice or bad counsel, you got it from somebody besides God. God's advice is always right. His counsel is always good. He only teaches the good and the right way. You never learn the wrong thing from God. Amen? Second Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 31 said, walk in His ways as long as ye live. So our walk for God is a lifelong walk. It is like marriage. It is until death do us part. Of course, in this case, death just takes you home. We are already parted, and at death we come together. But we're supposed to walk in the way and walk in His way. We are to let Him teach us the good and the right way. We are to take heed to our way until we walk down that highway and through that gate into the celestial city. Then you don't have to worry about the way anymore. Amen. Your Christian life is a lifetime walk. Not a part-time thing. It's not a Sunday morning thing. It is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, from the time you get born again until the time you get home to glory, you are to walk in the way till death do you part. You're supposed to live a Christian life till God takes you home. You don't get to be 65 or 70 or 80 or 90 or as old as Brother Carol and then take a vacation. There's no vacation. There's no leave of absence. You live for God all day, every day. You live for God at church. You live for God at home. You live for God at work. You live for God on vacation. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And we beseech you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled unto God. I never get a day off. You never get a day off. You are God's representative and you are God's ambassador. And you stand up and make an impression on the world for Jesus Christ every moment of every day. People say, well, we're going on vacation. We can let our hair down a little. No, sir. No place to let down. No place to set it aside. No place to lay it down. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 6, the Bible said, one went this way, and one went that way. You know, in my 36 years, I've seen some of that. You meet folks, you learn to like them, and you have fellowship with them, and something comes up, and they go that way, and we go that way. Say, why is that? Because we're going to follow God. And as long as they follow God, as long as they stay in the way, we can walk together. That Bible said, can two walk together except they be agreed? The obvious answer is no. And when people don't want to walk the straight and narrow, they can go that way, and we go this way. When people want to turn their back on that book, I'm going this way. I'm going with the book. They can go whichever way they want to. It's free country. Free country. Folks don't want to live for God. Okay, fine. It's your life. Live it any way you want to. But you're going to have to go down that way without me, because I'm going this way. This is the way God's going. That's the way I'm going. That's the way the book leads. That's the way the book teaches. That's the way I'm going. Amen. And so one of us has had to go this way, and one of us has to go that way. And buddy, down through the years, I've had to part company with a lot of folks, because they were going one way, and I was going another. But by the grace of God, I'm not departing from the way. If I make any boo-boos or any mistakes down that way, and God knows I made plenty, it was an accident. I done it on an accident. My heart was, my intention was, my desire was to stay as dead center in the middle of the way as I possibly could. I want to be so close to the middle that if I fall this way or I stumble that way, I'm still in the way. Somebody said one time, you know the problem with walking down the side of a road? You get hit or down the center line of a highway out there, because if you do that, you get hit going both directions. I want to be where it's the safest. I want to be where it's the most secure. I don't want to skirt the edges. Because, well, I think you can do so and so and it's okay. Well, if it's questionable, I don't want it. If it could lead me someplace, if I could look down the road far enough and see that this thing would take me off the course and out of the way, I don't want to go that way. You can go that way. One went that way, and one went that way. I'm going with God. Job chapter 34 and verse 21. It said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the ways of man. You see, God's got his eye on you. Now, you should have known that. He's got his eye on a sparrow, right? And he counts the hairs on your head. So you know, you ought to know God's watching. He knows where you're going. He knows the way you travel. He knows the way you live. He knows when you're in the way and when you are out of the way. God's eyes are open to the ways of man. He watches the ways of man. God knows how you live. You can fool me. You can come down here on Sunday morning all dressed pretty and smelling good and teeth all polished and everything and talk real holy and pious and got me, buddy. I believe you. All right, man, I'll nominate you for sainthood. But you can't fool God. God knows where you was at Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday afternoon. He not only knows where your body's at, he knows where your heart's at all the time. God's eyes, the Lord, are upon the ways of man. It would behoove us, I think, to know and remember, keep our eyes open and our heart in remembrance of the fact that God's watching. Amen. Not only that, Psalm 119, verse 59 said, I thought on my ways. I thought on my ways. Now, every Christian ought to do that. You ought to think about your ways. Are they pleasing to the Lord? Are they an encouragement to the weaker brother? Do they set an example for the unsaved? You ought to think on your way. Of course, there's another thought. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you need to think on your ways. See, your ways and God's ways aren't the same way. The way unsaved people think and reason and live is different than the way that God's people think and reason and live. And sometimes it might do you good to sit down and think on your ways. And where's it going to end? Where will it take you? If you continue on your way the rest of your life, when your time is up and your days are gone, where will you find yourself? You need to sit down and think on your ways. Now, if you think on your ways, you'll find, I guarantee you, if you think on your ways and reason on your ways, you will determine that your ways and God's ways are not the same way. When you think on your ways and you determine, you understand that you and God are not on the same page, here's what you ought to do. Proverbs 25:4 said, "Show me thy ways, O Lord." That's a great starting place for every unsaved sinner on the face of the earth. It's a good prayer for saved folks. Sometimes we're confused and bewildered. We ought to sit down and say, "Show me thy way, Lord. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. I need some help." But every unsaved person needs to think on their ways, and then they need to say, "Lord, show me thy way." If the unsaved sinner, if the unrepentant, if the unregenerate person would think on their ways and be honest about it and realize what their way is doing, where it's taking them, and they would sit down and say, "Lord, show me thy way," the Lord will open a door. God will shine light. God will reveal the way to please Almighty God. God will show you the way that satisfies everything God requires of you and I. And say, what is that? John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." You want to get in the way? Come to Jesus. "He that hath the Son hath life." He is the way. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There is no other way. Are you in the way? Let me ask you this. Do you have the way? When I got saved, I not only got in the way, I got the way. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now listen, you can't get in the way and live for God and get God's direction and get God's blessing until first you have the way. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And you can't come to God the Father without coming through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way to the Father. He is the way home. He is the way that gives you light and purpose and direction all the days of your life. Everything we believe, everything we teach, everything we have, everything we desire, everything about our way of life is centered in the person of Jesus Christ. Not the Baptist Church, not the King James Bible. Everything that makes our life what it is, and everything that gives us peace and joy, everything that gives us assurance and hope, comes when we know that we have the way of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." Let me point you to Jesus Christ this morning. He's the way. You need peace in your heart. You need purpose for your life. You need direction in where you're going. Come to Jesus. He's the way. Receive Jesus Christ and be saved by God's amazing grace. And that peace that you need, it's in the way. That direction you need, it's in the way. That life you need, it's in the way. It's all in Christ. I don't know how to say it any plainer. If you want peace and joy, if you want to walk the way that is most pleasant, the way that brings the most peace, the way that brings the most assurance, the way that gives the most comfort, you must come to Jesus Christ. He is the way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for our goodness, for your goodness to us. Pray, oh God, that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. Save men and women here. Sometimes we tend to wander out of the way. We make choices that take us places we ought not. I pray, help us to consider our ways. And help us to pray, Lord, teach us thy ways. Lord, if there's anybody here, any young person, any old person, any person that's not saved by God's amazing grace, that is not in the way, that has never received Christ Jesus their Savior, I pray, speak to that heart this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.